Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you again for joining me today. I praise God you would think to tune in to listen. I hope the broadcast is a blessing to you. In light of recent events that have occurred to this nation, Hurricane Katrina, I wanted to make a few comments to you today about the wrath of God. See, oftentimes when an event such as this occurs, this type of a disaster, men begin to comment that God was pouring his wrath out on whoever received the brunt of this disaster. And nothing could be further from the truth. See, it is true that God has dealt with mankind on the basis of pouring his wrath out, such as the flood of Noah, such as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet God is long-suffering. And right now, we're in a time of the greatest long-suffering the world has ever known. So I want to begin with the basic understanding right now that you live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And God is not pouring his wrath out upon the world today. I wish men could get a hold of this truth. It would be a great day in the life of every individual when they finally come to understand that God is not holding you accountable right now for sin because he put the sins of the world on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Then Paul says we've been committed with a word of reconciliation, that is, to tell the world the truth about the fact that God has reconciled the world unto himself and is not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, we cannot have it both ways. Either God was in Christ not imputing the world's trespasses, or he's pouring his wrath out upon cities like New Orleans or Biloxi or whatever. But how can it be both? God is not a man that he should lie, and he's not ambiguous. Along comes the sovereign grace believer. And they want to say, well, you can't question God. He makes evil and he makes good. Well, that is true. He created evil for the day of wrath. But was that day the day the hurricane hit? Are hurricanes part of the wrath of God? See, we've got to let the Bible mean what it says instead of coming up with all these ideas on our own. First of all, let's talk about the wrath of God. Look in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, it goes on to describe several things about their being without excuse, and the things of God are clearly seen, but it's clear in the passage that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Well, that hurricane didn't come from heaven. It wasn't revealed from heaven. There was a tropical depression that formed in the Atlantic Ocean. Weather systems in the world today are the result of a sin-cursed world. God's not pouring his wrath out. The day of God's wrath will be unmistakable. In John chapter 3, a passage almost every believer knows is verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, if God so loved the world, is he turning around and punishing the world? Did he not love the world of Noah's day? Well, the Bible says that Noah preached righteousness for 120 years when the ark was preparing. Men would not receive the love of the truth at that time, that they might be saved. They would have gotten in the ark had they believed. But since they did not believe, they all perished. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the truth. In the same chapter of John 3 there, look in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Then the reason the wrath of God would abide on an individual today is due to the fact that they believe not the Son. You mean to tell me that everybody in the Gulf Coast region that was harmed by the hurricane or lost something as a result of the storm or the flood does not believe the Son? Why, I saw church after church destroyed in Mississippi. They're preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Is God just a bad aim, and did he, oops, collateral damage, miss some of the targets that he was trying to hit? You got to be kidding me. First of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and he's not imputing trespasses unto the world today. So it's inconsistent with the truth of Scripture to say that God's pouring his wrath out at the same time he's not imputing trespasses, and that he loved the world. You know, people are always trying to say, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. No, Jesus Christ loved you. God the Father loved you and demonstrated that love at Calvary by sending his Son to die for your sins. Why don't you just receive the truth of the gospel of Christ? I get so fed up with hearing men today, legalists, who want to put you under bondage, trying to tell you that God's going to get you if you mess up, or you can lose your salvation, or it takes more than just trusting Jesus Christ's finished work at Calvary to be saved. These same men would put you under the admonition of the scriptures that are not written to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they themselves don't keep it. The man that says you must be saved by your works does not do the works that God told them to do in Matthew. He said, sell everything you have. Come on, preacher that preaches works for salvation. Did you sell everything you had? You couldn't have gold or silver. He told the rich young ruler, hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. He also told them to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and they had all things common. And the disciples did that. You don't do that, and you don't encourage your people to do it. You don't tell your people not to provide gold or silver or brass in their purses because you yourselves keep money in your pocket. You're a hypocrite and you're a liar because you will not teach the truth about the Word of God rightly divided. And you'll stand before the Lord to give an account of that someday. Men are going to stand before the Lord to give an account of the lies they told about the wrath of God. Well, what is the wrath of God? Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, covetousness, idolatry, whatever, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, who are the children of disobedience? I realize that that verse is telling me the wrath of God is coming upon those who are whoremongers, unclean persons, and on. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Well, are they disobedient because they do these evil things? No, they're just being a child of wrath by nature. Everyone was born with a nature of sin. The wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Well, what did the children of disobedience disobey? Well, why don't we let the Bible answer that question? It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Incidentally, this is where you will find the wrath of God. Not in the hurricane. Besides that, God told Noah he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. So I have a hard time believing the flood of New Orleans was God's wrath on the evil city. I'm not saying the city's any good. Nobody in New Orleans is worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow them into hell. But neither are you. I don't care where you live. You are not any good, and neither am I. And you know that, unless you're deceiving yourself. You that think you're doing good by being good, you're deceiving yourself. If there's none that doeth good, no, not one, how could God require good of you? Unless you are saved. And if you are saved, you're created unto good works. These knucklehead preachers get it all backwards. They're trying to have you do good things to get saved or stay saved. As if our puny flesh has any ability to do anything acceptable unto God. But if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a new creature created unto good works. You can do the good works for Christ's sake after you get saved as a result of having been saved, not in order to gain salvation. That's a satanic lie that's perpetuated every single day in this world. Well, the wrath of God is going to abide on those who are telling such lies because they disobey the gospel. And I'm not talking about if they're saved. I would venture to say if a man says you cannot be saved without works, he's lost as a goose. Because he's not trusting in the finished work of Calvary, he's trusting in his own works. He'll go back to the book of Genesis or he'll go forward to the book of Revelation to try to prove that a man is only justified by his works, but he doesn't understand Paul's scriptures. He does not understand his apostle. Men will twist the scripture every which way they can to make it say what they want it to say. Why? So they can have power over you and put you under bondage. Here's the wrath of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's the disobedience. It's the fact that people will not obey the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When men refuse to accept that gospel, they're a child of disobedience. They might not be a looter or a robber or a murderer. They might be a preacher preaching works for salvation. Maybe they've never done anything illegal, but they're sinning by telling you a lie. They will not obey the gospel of Christ. For their own pride and for the sake of their religion, they will cling to something that is not true, and therefore they're a child of disobedience. What's going to happen to them? Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Then the wrath of God comes when he returns. I didn't see Jesus Christ on a white horse riding in the hurricane, did you?
Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name. Someday soon, I'll meet him. Shed this corruption and shame. A sweet resurrection of glory when I'm born again. Someday soon, my Savior and as days pass, the hour draws near. Someday soon, this body of sin will be changed.
From Calvary to that heavenly land. In Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, I've made my final stand. Crucified, buried, and risen with Christ, by faith I'm justified. Now I'm on my way to that eternal strand, way up on the other side. My feet are tired and my flesh is weak, don't want to walk no more. I just want to hear my Savior shout, calling from heaven's door. Through the Word of God, I can see Him there, seated at the Father's right hand. Now soon He'll call me to be with Him, along with His crucified band.
Men today refuse to believe what the Scriptures say. They don't understand what it means that God is long-suffering. I don't claim to have any expertise in the Bible. I just simply believe sixth grade English. A King James Bible simply and clearly says what it means, and it means what it says. You don't need a degree in Greek or Hebrew to understand it. This Bible was written to teach young children how to read. These people that say they don't understand the King James Bible don't read it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writes, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Do you realize the last time the wrath of God fell was on Israel? The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD because God lifted His hedge from around them and allowed the Roman army to come in and lay it waste. There was not one stone left upon another, and the rest of the wrath of God has been in abeyance ever since that time. That generation, that adulterous generation, was destroyed. The ones who believed on Jesus Christ were placed in Christ. And the gospel of Christ was given to Paul to teach to the Gentiles that they can be in Christ by believing on Him as their Lord and Savior, by obeying the gospel. Well, Paul, he said, was the chief of sinners in verse 15, but he obtained mercy. Why? In order that God would show forth all long-suffering. He is being long-suffering. He's been that way before. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter refers to some spirits in prison in verse 20, which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. Concerning the wrath of God, God is being long-suffering at this time, just as He was in the days of Noah. And He never said He was going to give you 120 years. The time in which God is dealing with man right now, we don't know when it will come to a close. The dispensation of God's grace, wherein He is not imputing trespasses, we don't know how long that's going to be. But when the Lord calls us out of this world, that time will come to an end. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years. It wouldn't make any difference. The Lord knows when that day is, and we don't need to try to guess it. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. By the way, that phrase, willingly ignorant, would apply to so many today. From the atheist to the preacher who won't preach the truth. They are willingly ignorant of the gospel of Christ, imposing either their agenda or their work salvation upon men in order that they can have control of you. Verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Then God's not pouring out his judgment on the world today. The heavens and the earth which are now are reserved unto a day of judgment. And it's a specific day. He says there's fire involved. In verse 8 he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, bless God, that's Peter talking there. Peter, who knew that a person in his preaching, the gospel of the circumcision, had to be baptized, had to sell everything they had, and had to endure to the end. Some of those things that the preachers that would put you under work salvation won't tell you to do. Peter said, sell that you have, endure to the end. And here he is saying, God's not willing that any should perish. Then does God will that any perish? No, he doesn't. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for God will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Then if it's God's will that all men be saved, he doesn't desire that any one perish. He so loved the world. He is not imputing trespasses unto the world. What does it take to get that through our thick skulls? God would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But the day of the Lord will come, verse 10, as a thief in the night. Well, tell me something. Did Hurricane Katrina come as a thief in the night? Or did we have advance warning through all our sophisticated meteorological equipment? There was enough warning to evacuate most everybody out of there. If this is God's wrath, it's pathetic. No, the wrath of God is unmistakable. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, verse 10, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, not water. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? By all means, we ought to be living godly lives, but for you and me, that means telling people the truth, living in a manner that reflects well upon our salvation. And one of the things that would not reflect well upon our salvation is to lie about the wrath of God. It does disservice to the body of Christ for preachers to say God is pouring his wrath out on the world when the wrath of God is coming as a thief in the night and it involves fire. What is clear in the passage here is that God is long-suffering, and you live in the time of God's long-suffering. So how do we explain these natural disasters? People always ask the question, why would God allow such and such to happen? Doesn't he control this? Doesn't he control that? Well, God is in control, but you understand he stepped out of this world when the world rejected him at Calvary's cross. And he left us with his word, his spirit, and the gospel that'll save anybody today. What you're seeing happening today with flooding and storms and earthquakes and famine and other natural disasters is the result of a sin-cursed world. Look in Romans chapter 5. People want to blame God for everything, and then if they don't blame God, they turn around and blame the devil. But the bottom line is, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it tells us that time and chance happeneth to us all. I'm going to have to read that passage to you in just a moment. First, continue on to Romans chapter 5, and notice verse 12. Paul writes, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Well, sin is the reason death comes into the world. Then the reason people die in disasters is because of sin. It's not because of God. The Lord created a pristine paradise in the Garden of Eden. There was no rain. A mist watered the ground. The environment changed after the flood of Noah. You go back and study it, you'll see it wasn't the same kind of a world, or earth, I should say, at that time. It had never rained before the days of Noah. Incidentally, men lived upwards of 900 years before the flood, and after that they steadily decreased in their longevity to about the rate we have today. Why? Because of sin. Because the environment literally changed. People talk about global warming today, they have no idea. There was a barrier around the earth that kept most of the radiation out. There was no disease or famine. The world was like a greenhouse, and that was a good thing. There was a uniform temperature. Now we have seasons, and we have clouds, and we have weather patterns, all a result of a sin-cursed world. Now you've got to keep in mind that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So God wants all men to be saved. Remember that verse I mentioned in Ecclesiastes? It's in chapter 9, verse 11. He writes, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Do you realize time and chance are in effect today? Then God's not micromanaging every little thing that happens around you. He's allowing you to do anything you want to do. If you want to kill yourself, he won't stop you. If you want to kill somebody else, he may not stop you. You want to rob a bank, commit adultery, God will give you the grace to hang yourself. But I know this, the wrath of God is coming on the world, and it will come when he returns. But as he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Romans 5, 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The wrath of God abides on them that disobey the gospel. You can avoid the wrath of God by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why don't you do it right now? Quit trying. Start trusting, and you'll be delivered from the wrath to come. God's wrath isn't on the world right now. There's a time of grace where you can believe. Why don't you trust him right now before it's too late? Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.